when you get to know God, I mean really know him, then you can trust him with all your heart. You can trust him. I don't care what happens.
Question, do you trust God? Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." In this week's lesson, Dr. Williams shares the benefits of trusting God.
I trust God in all of my dealings. I've learned there's nobody like God. All people to tell you, you can depend on me. I'm with you through thick and thin. Well, it soon gets thick because they thin out. You got to learn nobody loves you like God.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You can read it for yourself. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Church, those of you in radio land and then watching television, screaming, I'm not talking about church now. I'm talking about you can. I know you can. Trust God. You can trust God. I want to talk about the day I can trust God. I don't want to go back into history. You should know about this. When I was young, I used to question my parents a lot and some of the other people in church that I trusted. Because I learned when I was young, you can't trust everybody. And so one of the things I used to question about was, how can Percy talk about God so much? Not this person, another one. So much. And you couldn't say one word out of a sentence, they didn't get angry. You in the audience, you can get as angry as you want to, but you can't sing that song like Miss San Francisco just got to. Because God didn't give it to you. And listen carefully, because I don't want to misrepresent the Bible. You cannot, it will not do you any good. You're wasting your time. You can pray until Jesus come back next week. But until you get to know God for yourself, you're going to be difficult to deal with. Let me go back. Knowing God, I didn't say it. It says, you can do what? Trust the Lord how? With all your what? Now, what heart is he talking about? This one or this one? Which one? You see, your thinking, biblically, if you're thinking whatever way you're thinking, once you get saved, now listen to me careful, Baptist, once you get saved, and you can't change from what you used to be, you need to question if you're saved. Let me back up. I was getting ready to go to work before I came to California, and someone I knew well had four kids. Five something in the morning, they rang my bell. I'm getting ready to go to work. And he came in. I'd never seen him cry. It's amazing to me about men. When a man gets to the point he's broke, can't get no money, everything around him is funny, can't get no nice lady because he don't have no money. When that happens, he will cry. Because he's hurt. But all that stuff's temporarily. Everything you have is temporary. You said, I'm going to love my wife until I die. You might die tonight. And there's somebody now, they talked to me two weeks ago now. And I'm going to talk to you all over here. This lady's husband died in January. Okay. And something happened to her family in New Orleans. Yeah. So she called me. You know where she is? She's in Paris. Grieving about her husband. Yeah. Yeah, you grieving all right. Trying to get you a new uniform.
That's right. That's right.
That's temporary.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you to, and if you're in this church, and you, like for an example, many young adults, they mean well. I mean, they do. But I want you to take this home with you today. You can have 10 degrees. Uh-huh. You can be 25. You can have a job making plenty of money, but you're not going nowhere without us. You missed it. We older people that you call, you're not going nowhere without us. Because we got the foundation, and you got to come back and get it every now and then. So you can talk all you want to. I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and one of the young men, the men said, he said, I'm 27 years old and I'm educated. He should have said edumacated. But he said, I'm educated. And he said, and what we got to do is to help the older people, help them to learn. We're living in an educated society. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I said, when he got to, I said, could I ask the question? He said, sure. He was in charge. I said, how old are you? He told me how old he was. I said, where do you live? He said, I live in Green Haven. And I said, you do? I said, you own your own home? He said, no. I said, well, then shut up. You're so smart. Why don't you own your own home?
Right.
You don't have to say, ma'am, I know I'm right. My daddy told me when I left Mississippi to come to Chicago, he said, don't forget what you've been taught. And one of the things he taught us, when you get married, if you don't have the money to buy a home before you get married, he said, in 3 years, you make sure you start a saving account to buy a house.
There you go. There you go.
There you go. That's wisdom. Now, reading, he said that, he was telling me, nobody can put you out of your own house. Something else he did. He taught me how to shoot a gun. Showed me how to shoot a rifle and a double-barrel shotgun and a pistol. What he was doing, he didn't tell me, but he was equipping me. So whatever I needed, I don't have to look for it. Just get it. When you get to, When you get to know God, now listen carefully what I'm saying. When you get to know God, I mean really know him, then you can trust him with all your heart. You can trust him. I don't care what happened. So this man, he knocked on my door and he says, William, I hate to bother you, but my rent's due and I messed up. So I can't pay it. And with my family, they're going to put us out today. Now, I had my rent, man. I want you to listen. I had my rent to pay today. Same day he had his to pay, I had to pay mine. I said, well, I don't have no extra money, but I just want to have my rent. He said, but you pay your bills, and you don't mess up. And he said, if you let me have the money to pay my rent, I'll get you your money back in 3 days. So what he's saying, before they put you out, I'll get your money back. Listen carefully. I said, I didn't have to go back and say, honey, what you think? Because my wife was saved. And so I said to her, I said, I'm going to have to cut the light on and get my rent. I got to help this so-and-so pay his rent so he won't get put out. She said, I'll be praying for you. Now listen careful. Listen before you go too far. What she was saying was, I'll be praying for you to let him have it and trusting him to give it back. That's what she said. So I went to my realtor, and a fine gentleman, and I said, Mr. Austin, I said, I have some concerns. I said, I need to speak to you privately. There's 10 or 15 people in the office, and you know some of the nosiest people on earth. I come back. And I said, I had my money to pay my rent, but some gentleman I knew had a wife, 4 kids, and he messed his money up, so I had to give him my rent. I came here to tell you, give me 7 days, and I'll pay you. This is what he did. Get up here. It hit me on the shoulder light. That's good. He hit me on, he said, William, where are you going? I said, on my way to work. Go on to work, and when you get it, bring it to me. He said, I trust you because you've never been late. And this God I'm telling you about, he can be trusted. Hallelujah to the King. Then when I got to work, I'm telling you Baptist people, when I got to work, that where I was changing clothes in my locker, there was an envelope sticking in my locker. This, you know how lockers have holes on the outside. Right. No, you don't know about that. Right. But anyway, there was a letter sticking inside, a long one. I took it out and I said, who put this in my locker? I opened the letter, and there was $1,000 in it. Wow! You can trust him.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? The guy never paid me back. Never. He's dead now. I hope he went to the right place. I don't know where he went. But when he died, I left California and went back to Chicago to his service. You know why? Because I loved him. He just didn't know how to do business. See, when you're saved, full of the Holy Spirit, you'll pull your coat off and give it away. Because you know the God that gave you that one, he have another one. So my sermon for you today, it was given to me. Do you really trust God? I told you I had a part-time job cutting out material to make clothes. And I had a regular job, and my boss, who was a regular job, was a Jew. And my boss, who was on the tailor shop, he was a Negro. I don't care what you say, he was a Negro. Negroes own homes all over the South. They got land everywhere in the South, Negroes. I'm waiting on you, Afro-American. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And so, my brothers and sisters, I never got angry enough with this man I couldn't sleep. I didn't give it to him. I loaned him to him, depending on my faith in God, not in him. I've been hurt by a number of people, but I was healed by the Holy Ghost. And when he heals you, you never know you've been hurt. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. I know you can trust him. I know you can trust him. I left here in my, let me give you a few testimonies. I left here and went to, they called me and said that the doctor said that your mother needed to remove her leg above her knee. And he said she won't do nothing with the rest of the family. She's waiting on you. I left my job and left San Francisco at 12 o'clock at night. Flew into Jackson. Got there the next morning, 6 o'clock. Went straight to the hospital. My sister sat inside of the bed and I said, you can go home now. I'll take over. I said to the nurse when she came in, I said, get me the doctor when he comes in. I okayed for them to take her leg off because she trusted me. Now listen carefully. I asked the head nurse at the desk, what is the closest hotel here so I can go and get me a room and I'll be back? She said, where are you from? I said, Sacramento, California. She said, I think that I can get you a place across the hall from your wife, for your mother. She says, I said, you can? She said, yeah. She gets up, took me across the hall. There was a shower. There was a bed. There was a television. And there was a refrigerator. And there was a snack in it. Now, you're not listening.
That's right.
So I said, how much would it cost me? She said, it won't cost you nothing because you came here to help take care of your mother. So you don't have to pay nothing. She said, here. She says, stand up, brother. She says, I'll give you a pass. You can have breakfast and dinner on the hospital. Don't ever tell me you can't trust God. Hallelujah. I stayed there 5 nights.
There you go.
Didn't pay a dime and ate 2 meals a day.
Hallelujah.
And then I got a snack during the lunch hour and didn't have to pay. You can't tell me you can sit in this church all you want to. You can be as cheap as dirt, but you're going to miss your blessing. Your blessing doesn't come from your nosy friends. Your nose and know everything. I wouldn't do this. I don't care what pastor said. Pastor not saying nothing. The Bible said, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's not Ephraim. That's the Bible. My friend who is a Jew said to me, Williams, I don't understand you. I said, what? You don't understand what? He said, every time I see you, you don't look like you're getting old. I said, I won't, because I'm not around you all the time. If I was around you, I'd be looking like you. I said, you worry too much and you're not going to take nothing with you. Even though he's worth $6 million, I don't care if he's worth $50 million. Trump is rich, but he's going to die poor. Because he's going to die just like Ephraim.
That's right.
No money can save him when the time comes.
That's right.
No doctor can save him when the time comes.
Right.
No nurse can shoot him when the time comes. But when you're in God, you don't ever die. I've died once and I won't die again. Okay, let's go back here. I want you to listen. This will be the second part to come later. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. First, it is the Lord in whom we are to trust. I'm saving my money because I'm going to retire and I'm going to need it and I've got my house and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do all of that. All of that is temporary. Your house is allowed by God for you to live in it until you can't. Then you're going to have to go. They're going to bring somebody in to take care of you.
Preach.
You can be mean now. What you going to do when you get down? You can't do nothing.
Preach, Pastor.
And Joy said,
amen.
I'm trying to get you to see. Not with trust. We to trust, my friend. We are to trust. Not ourselves or our plans, and certainly not the world's wisdom and devices. We trust in the Lord because he and he alone is truly trustworthy. Listen carefully. Further, because of God's nature, we are to trust him with all of our hearts, committing every aspect of our lives to him in complete confidence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, when you trust God, you don't run around here bragging, boasting. You run around here and say, Lord, you promised me somewhere to stay. And now I need a house or an apartment. And then another mistake that Baptists make, you think God, many of y'all think God going to throw you something. You praying for a job, get your lazy self out of that bed and go look for it. When you get through praying, go and look. You're praying for a car, they're on the lot, just go and look and pray. But get up and go, the car not going to drive to your house, go and get it.
Yes, sir. That's right, that's right.
When I told this church, a lot of people in church told me they never heard of that. I went and looked for a car. My wife said, we don't have enough money to put down. I said, well, the Lord told me to go get it. I went and they let me drove a brand new car to the house to show my wife, and they didn't even come with me. I'm trying to tell you all, quit talking about this God that I told you a few Sundays ago. This God that is in you, he's in you. Quit talking about him if you're not going to let him use you. Amen. Amen. Mrs. Grace Butler said to me, you're too young to have so much faith. You got a future. I said, that is right, because I know God now for myself. And the God I know, he said you trust him. He's not talking about for one thing. He's talking about trusting him for everything. Amen. Let's move on, see, friends. I said he's trustworthy. Now listen careful here. He says trust him with all your heart. And now here's the problem with Baptists. And lean not on your understanding. Look careful. Here's my understanding. Here's mine. Well, we need a mission offering. And do I have a dollar? So I turned back 2, 3, 5s, 2, 3, 10s. Then I tell you, I trust the Lord. How you doing? I am blessed. You said that stuff and highly favored and lying. You can't be highly favored and lying to God. No way. When you're highly favored, You don't get nervous when the devil get after you. First of all, let me explain something about the devil. Many times the devil is not after you. He's trying to persuade you to listen to him. So he gives you stuff to bother you. Amen. The lady said last Thursday to me, she said, Pastor Williams, you're not going to be pastoring soon, and you're going to be getting married, looking for a wife. I said, why you ask me that? She said, well, you know, you haven't been looking. You don't know what I've been doing. I haven't been looking for you. See, friend, then she made another statement which is dangerous. She says, well, you know, I think that you would make a woman a good husband, but you're just too afraid. And I said, what I said to you, I said, I'll talk to you later. Why do I have to be afraid? And since I'm on that subject, I have choices.
Right.
And if you think I don't have no choice, ask Ross. He was with me a few days ago and I was eating. I had three different choices from three different backgrounds and from three different nationalities. Now, I'm not going to tell no more. That's enough. I'm not against nobody asking me that, but I want to let you know the God I serve is still able. He's still able. I said he's still able. And so when friends, listen carefully. We are not to trust in ourselves because our understanding is temporal. It's finite. And it is tainted by our sin nature. Trusting in ourselves is like walking confidentially across a rotten bridge.
Right.
Disaster and incapable of crossing.
Right.
You can't trust yourself in the nature. You trust God how he can direct yourself. God want to direct his people, but we have to let him do it. Friend, listen to me very carefully. God is not in the business of persuading us to do nothing. But if he wants us to do something, he'll do it. Listen carefully. And number three, just that one, those two verses. And all of your ways, all, submit to him also. In every area of your life, are we to surrender to God. We are not to pick and choose what things we want to control and what things we want God to control. God controls it all. Amen. 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 So are you trusting? That's the issue here. Are you trusting in God? Are you? The last part of that it says, he will direct your what? And you have a path. And you need some direction. Whether you believe it or not, you still need it. Just because you know two or three things, that's not life. We need some direction in our real life. Amen, friend. God will show us the way through reading his word and studying his word. We have to believe and trust the word of God and let it become a part of us. Then we will lead. He will lead us onto the right path. Trusting God is guiding us. And he will show us his will for our lives. Everything you want, the reason you don't get it, God want to have you to stay close to him. Whole lot of stuff. I know a whole lot of Baptist people now. Oh, I go to church at least once a month. You don't need to go at all. God is not begging you to come to no church. God is blessing you when you come so you can be blessed when you leave. Amen. Let's move on. Trust in God. And let me give you a story here. The reason that I trust God, because I am His. I was, even before I accepted Him, I was His. I belong to God. I don't care what you say. He created me from the dirt and put His life in me. That's what God did. He is everywhere that I go, and I cannot escape His presence. Psalm 139. That's why I said to church people, quit hiding and lying to yourself. When you're doing wrong, God is there. When you're doing right, God is there. When hate's working on you, God is there. You cannot hide from an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's everywhere. Church, He's everywhere that I go, and I cannot escape His presence. Listen, let me name a few people. I'm going to name a few people who have given me evidence that God can be trusted. Well, if I don't want to go, maybe before I get into this group, my father was in the bed. I told you this before, was in the bed, couldn't walk. He had got his leg, knee, his hip, all that was fractured. He called me to the bed. I was good in math. He said, "Sit down, son." He says, "Get that tablet over there, and I want you to write something down." I said, "Okay." I got the tablet. He said, Write down, I need 6 camps. The military is closing this area down. And I want to buy 6 of them because I'm going to build a house. He just bought the land. I'm talking to the people who criticize the old people. He says, I want to buy and I want to arrange it so when it's built, it's paid for. So I wrote it down. He says, and put under that, I'm going to need X number of nails. I'm going to need X number of 10 for the house. That's what he wanted on the roof. And I'm going to need this and need that. So when I got through, I said, "There it is. It's a lot of money." He said, "No, I'm not talking to you about no money. Just write it down." He goes to the camp, sharing not too far from where we live. And it was closing it. And he said, I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. Then he got some people down the street to tear them down, haul the lumber to his place, stacked it up. And he got, I don't know what you call that stuff, that I call it tar paper. And he covered that lumber up. Are you listening? Then he got some people in the community to dig a foundation. Then they started building on the house. He lived in my grandfather's 14-room house. He didn't have a lot of money in the bank, but he had a lot of faith.
That's right.
He said, "God will help me build this house."
Right.
They started building on the house. I'm talking about trusting God. They built the house. When he got through, we celebrated with vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry ice cream, and coconut cake, fruit cakes, and pound cakes. We had a big celebration with 40 or 50 people from the community. And he said, "I want all of you all to know that my house is paid for." Now, how many of these modern folks who are always talking about older folks
tell it, and
old school, right, how many of the modern folks can buy anything and pay for it cash? So he taught me, trust God and lean not on your own understanding, because your understanding is not that powerful. Now listen careful. And then God gave me some people that I can trust. God did it. You might not believe it, but God gave me some people that I can trust. And I can get where I need to go. Well, Number one, Noah trusted God for rain despite never seeing rain before. Genesis in the 7th chapter. He trusted God. Listen carefully. Abraham trusted God for a sacrifice, and the Lord provided a ram in the bush. Genesis 22, 9 through 13. Number three, Moses trusted God when he went back to Egypt to deliver an unpopular message, and he was given a walk path in the middle of the Red Sea. Help me here, Holy Ghost. Enoch trusted God and started walking with him, and we've never seen him since. He walked on the way into heaven. You can trust him. Elijah trusted God and was given victory over the prophet of Baal. Listen carefully. Paul and Silas trusted God and were set free through a divine miracle, Acts 16, 25 through 28. Listen carefully. These are the people that we can look at who trusted God and won the battle. Church, listen today. Listen today. Paul trusted in God, and he was delivered from the shipwreck. Acts 27, 27 through 42. Samaritan trusted in God, and she obtained a new reputation. John 4, 29 through 43. I trust God. I trust him, friend. I trust God in all of my dealings. I've learned there's nobody like God. All people that tell you, you can depend on me. I'm with you through thick and thin. Well, it soon gets thick because they thin out. Are you listening today? Paul, this, my friend, I trust God because he loves me. You got to learn nobody loves you like God. Hallelujah. You can have all the money you want to, all the sugar you want. You can look all the way you want. You can wear five or six different kinds of hair, but nobody trusts you like God. Friends, he takes care of my needs. I remember how he kept me as a young adult and now as an adult. Whatever happens in my life, I can trust God. Evidence can be seen in how he has used me to help other people. Why do I trust God? Well, can I go and he is not there? Where? Nowhere. He's everywhere watching over Ephraim. Wherever I go, he's there watching over me. He has provided that he is trustworthy. I told you he's trustworthy. I told you he's trustworthy. And as I come to a close, let me tell you what I have discovered for myself. The reason that I don't worry and I don't fret, because he's never left me yet. I want to borrow this from Quincy. I have a testimony. I have a testimony. Twice the doctor said I was going to die. He said, well, my parents, he will not make it to 20. He's going to die. I don't think I'm dead. I got a testimony. The doctor is dead. And you remember when we first started building this church, I was the Surgeon General. They gave my wife a notebook and said to her, get his last request, because we can't do nothing for him. God sent a young preacher in, put his hand on my head, hand on my chest. My wife on the other side had her hand. And then our temperature 108, almost 9. And he said, if it doesn't drop, my brain would be messed up. I don't know about him. He got on his knees. My doctor got on his knees out of my bed and prayed for the Lord to heal me. and I'm healed and I'm alive. I have a testimony long when I look back over my life and think things over. I can tell you there's nobody like God. He is God in the midnight hour. He's God early in the morning. He's God late in the evening. He's God when I'm broke. He's God when I have money. He's just all God by himself. That's my testimony. Don't let nobody fool you. He's nobody can be like him. What is your testimony? What is it?
Amen.
What is it? When I was told I was going to die and sitting me crying, I'm testifying to God. Thank you for healing me. And I hadn't been healed. But the reason I can say thank you for healing me, because I trust him. He said, I'm a God, will never leave you. So if you're not going to leave me, I need you to touch me. He touched my body. They put me in a tub of ice and didn't get the temperature down. But when he touched me, it fell. And I'm here to tell you today, when I look back over my life, I can tell you there's nobody, nobody, nobody like God. You can trust. You can trust. You can trust. You can trust. When I look back over my life, I can truly say, he's made a way. He's made a way.